Welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Becca, and I am joined by my co-hosts Adam and Nicole, and a very special guest. We have Maria, author, podcaster, plant lady, and we're really excited to introduce her to you. I'm sure that you know who she is, but if not, Maria, welcome.
Hello, Team Potted Together. It's so fun to chat with you via podcasts when I feel like I've been chatting with you and I know you from your YouTube channel. So it's fun to jump media with you today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And Maria and I have chatted quite a bit. So I feel like we're friends, right? Mm-hmm. But it's fun to have you here and chatting with my other friends. It's like when your friends meet your other friends, like your friend groups converge. Like that's honestly how I felt this whole time. It feels really fun. But okay, so I'm sure, as I said, lots of people know who you are. You have like one of the original plant podcasts in the Planty podcast space. But just in case there's some new people around here, can you give us just a quick rundown of who you are?
Yes. And before that, I wanted to say to you three, congratulations, Potted Together, on the success that you guys are having with the show. And also, I have to say, I love your podcast art. Have you guys ever talked about like who created it? Has that story ever been told on your show?
We haven't, I don't think. Well, maybe we've mentioned her.
Yeah.
I just love the concept of the pot with the earbuds on it. Like, I think it's so brilliant. And I think some of the best podcast art in the Planty, you know, arena of the podcast world. So I wanted to say, you nailed it. Great job.
Thank you. Man.
Well, one of our dedicated listeners crocheted me our logo. I have a crocheted version of the logo.
What?
Yeah, it's wild.
Should I go grab it?
Yes.
You should go grab it.
Wait, what? That sounds like a really hard crochet project.
Yeah. Her name is like, Natalie. She's amazing.
And headphones and all. The colors, everything.
Wow. That's it. You know, there's nothing like a dedicated diehard listener and how they show their love, because, you know, I think sometimes people don't really understand the grind of creating YouTube videos and creating podcast episodes. And, you know, sometimes people reach out being like, I think you'll never respond, or, you know, I don't know if I'm annoying you, but I'm like, no, please, like, please remind me why I do this all the time. Okay. Adam has returned. Show us the crochet. Oh my God.
Isn't that adorable?
And you can like move all the pieces.
Oh
and it's
my
just
gosh.
Like...
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
We'll have a photo over on our Instagram post for today's episode. So go check it out.
I'm in love with it.
Give shout Natalie out, a follow.
Shout out to Natalie. That's incredible. Natalie, I'm coming for you with my my podcast art. Okay, but sorry. So I had to, you know, congratulate you and for that. But okay, so you asked me to introduce myself. Hi, Potted Together family. I'm Maria Faella. I'm the host of It's Like Prince, the podcast formerly known as podcast formerly known as Bloom and Grow Radio. And Becca's right. It was the first American houseplant podcast. Me and Jane Perrone of On the Ledge came out at about the same time. Mm-hmm. For 5 years, I have been hosting Bloom and Grow Radio. It's now called Growing Joy with Maria. We rebranded the show in January. But I'm an epic plant killer. I spent my whole life killing plants. Couldn't keep one alive if someone, you know, paid me. Long story short, I went through an unbelievable transformative experience when I moved in with my boyfriend. He's my husband now. And brought plants in for, I say I came for the aesthetic, but I stayed for the wellness, because I originally brought plants home to just like make our home. You know, I was nesting. It was the first time I lived with a partner. I wanted some plants. I wanted a little balcony garden. But in those, you know, plants, I found so much joy and wellness. And, you know, I'm a self-help junkie. I've read every self-help book. I've, you know, done every juice cleanse, every yoga class. And, you know, the biggest tool for seeing life lessons and learning to slow down, like, was in my plants. They really were the most transformative wellness tool. At the time, I was living in 500 square feet in New York City. I think I got up to 160 plants in that 500 square feet, which is
insane.
Oh my gosh.
When that's I think so about many. It. Yeah. So many plants, but it all looked great. And yeah, so Bloom and Grow Radio was first kind of my love letter to plants, and kind of it almost felt like an act of service to like other millennials like me who were living in, you know, urban areas, wanting to connect with nature, wanting to connect with themselves, but couldn't keep plants alive. So, you know, my first 10 episodes are how to not kill succulents, you know, what are the best house plants for beginners, you know, really rudimentary stuff. Grow lights. I remember I asked someone like what a grow light was on one of my first episodes, which is ridiculous now because I have like a million of them. And now the podcast is called Growing Joy. That's also the title of my book. And my book is a self-development book. It's called Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness. And it's all about how to use plants to live a happier, more connected life. And as I've kind of grown as a plant parent, as my plants have grown alongside me, the podcast and the business have kind of evolved into this new Growing Joy chapter. And now on the podcast, we do 2 plant care episodes a month. So you're still going to get episodes on, you know, succulents and Hoya and everything good like that, outdoor gardening as well. And then we have a community episode once a month, which you guys will come you'll be joining me on my podcast in a month or so.
Yay.
Yes. And then a self-care through the lens of plant episode. So that nice. Could look like, you know, what is forest bathing? Can plants feel? Those are some questions that we're answering. You know, how to garden by the moon, all sorts of like more Ooh. Kind of spiritual stuff.
Very which, cool.
Yes, which I'm really like lit up about right now. So that's me in a nutshell. Crazy, you know, plant killer turned happy plant lady.
I love that. I feel like your rebranding is coming at a good time too, because I feel like over the past couple years, well, in 2020, a lot of people got into plants. I think the houseplant community quadrupled.
Yeah,
easily. In and of itself, easily. And people kind of ended up going back to work and life resumed after 2020, and people kind of not necessarily fell out of love with their plants, but I feel like a lot of people are struggling with their collections. Mental health is definitely something a lot of people struggle with. So I feel like your podcast is going to be so essential and helpful to so many people.
Thank you. Yeah, I think nature, and I only can speak to this because, you know, the opening line of my book is that I wrote this book about joy in the least joyful period of my life. I'm someone who struggles with clinical depression and anxiety in 2020 and 2021, probably the largest struggle with depression I've ever had, as I had to write this book on how to live a happy life with plants. But, you know, what I believe that everything happens for a reason. We were talking about this offline, and I think that I needed to have that, you know, depressive episode because it reinforced the power that these plants have. You know, I had this moment, I was writing the book, I looked around, my plants looked miserable, I was completely neglecting them, and because I was neglecting myself, and it was this aha moment of, wow, like something isn't right here. Like you need to go back to the basics, and you need to really start preaching what, you know, doing what you're preaching and what you're writing about. And it was in that moment where I kind of returned to everything I talked about in my book and set up a plant, you know, a plant care self-care routine, and, you know, revisited a restorative space with plants. And, you know, I felt myself come alive again, you know, alongside some therapy and a lot of other stuff that I needed. So yeah, I think too, you know, you mentioned with 2020, I think it's totally normal to have plant burnout. I think our relationship with plants can be seasonal, just like the seasons outside. But I also think the bigger thing that I'm feeling personally and what I'm hearing from in my community is I think the conversation about like nature as therapy is going to be so huge in the next 10 years because we're also coming out of this pandemic like so screen addicted. Yeah. We've come out of this time being isolated, being so stuck on social media. I can't tell you how many dinners I've sat at with people who can't leave their phones away, you know, for 2 hours. And the conversation of burnout, man, like everybody's burned out. Everybody's struggling. And I think, nature is a free, accessible way to tool to help heal and feel better after the kind of crazy couple years that we've been given. And so, yeah, I want to just like be a part of that conversation and create some free resources for people to know how to forest bathe or to, you know, to know the beautiful things. You know, I know that you guys have done episodes on what to do, you know, when you've gotten burned out with your plants or when you have too many, you know, plants in your collection. I think that's as important of a conversation as any of the plant care that we talk about, because there's a dark side to this thing too, if you don't kind of keep hold of the reins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I feel like since the beginning of your podcast, this essence has always lived in Bloom and Grow, because I remember you used to do episodes that were just like little nuggets, and they would,
plant side chats.
Yes. And mm-hmm. they were very thoughtful, and you had so many beautiful things to say, and they were just a quick little chat, but it was just like a little journal entry. And I feel like that has always been in you, and your heart has always been, and I can't speak for you, but as a listener, I always felt that you had a little bit of a deeper connection with plants than just like enjoying them, which I think all of us can relate to. There's people that are going to like plants because they're fun, and there's people that are going to like plants because it's like life transformative, and lessons and things can be applied in so many ways, like your concept of like pruning your life and things like that. Like,
yeah, that's I love that you are a true listener of the show and that you call back the plant side chats, because I remember my 10th episode was my first one, and I remember being so scared to air it because I am a very deeply spiritual person and I see life lessons in my plants, right? That was definitely one of the biggest things that inspired me to continue this habit. But I was worried that I was going to come across as totally kooky to everyone, because I am kind of the like woo-woo girl of my friend group, you know, and everyone's all like, okay, Maria's talking about her tomato plant again. Like, we get it, Maria, you like plants. But it was so interesting that I always got positive, you know, feedback from the audience. And I'm so thankful that I took that moment, because the way that I got my book deal was I had a listener who was a editor at a major publisher who knew that was a through line of my show. You know, episode 40, I did an interview with a horticultural therapist to learn about horticultural therapy. Like, that definitely has been a through line. I felt like my value and my worth and what listeners would listen to was only plant care. So I feel like I kind of held back there because I wasn't sure how it would be received. But once I got the opportunity to write the book and I realized I had so much to talk about, and this is what lights me up, you know, this is what I really feel like in terms of service can be the most value I can provide to people, in addition to helping them care for plants, right? Like, we got to figure out, you've got to know how to care for the plants in order to unlock the happiness that they can give you. No one is going to feel good with like a limping along, you know, pothos plant. So it's that duality. But yes, the rebrand has definitely been about stepping more into myself as the host instead of just feeling like people are only going to listen if I have good guests on, you know?
I was going to say, I personally feel that those little nuggets of vulnerability, those nuggets of like diving into like the messy of our lives, are what really connect us to the audience, especially because I still get messages from our plant therapy episode, which was our 5th episode ever. And I don't even want to go back and listen to it because the audio probably is awful. And that's just like something because we've learned. But I still to this day get messages on Instagram and someone being like, you know, I really related to what you said and I'm so thankful that you put it out there. And it just fills my heart. And I feel like I'm grateful that you're doing this as well, because it's such a good impact in people's lives, you know? It's a very exciting venture, a very exciting rebrand.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, friend.
And I have to figure out what forest bathing is.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's a medicinal practice that's like approved by doctors in Japan. It's called Shinrin Yoku. I mean, that's not how you pronounce it, but that's the Japanese word. And it literally means to bathe in the forest. And it's this practice of going into the forest, leaving your phone, leaving your earbuds, no Snapchat, no podcasts, and just immersing yourself in nature. It's a complete nervous system reset. You know, I have a chapter on it in my book, but you spend time engaging your five senses, noticing the birds, noticing, you know, everything there. And there's studies that have proven that, you know, 20 minutes of forest bathing, you know, maybe it's 2 hours for the week. I don't know. The studies in my book, but there are studies that by these forest medicine doctors in Japan that are proving the incredible wellness benefits from spending time in nature, from decreased cortisol levels to obvious increases of, you know, feelings of well-being. Cool. I mean, who doesn't want to bathe in the forest?
I hear that and I just think of me going in the forest naked where there's possibly ticks.
Or poison ivy.
The bathtub. So it's not
what
you
can be fully clothed. You can be fully clothed. You're bathing your senses. You're bathing your senses. Fully clothed. Nudity optional.
Tick infested ivy. Yeah.
Nudity optional.
Nudity optional for the forest bathing.
This is flashing me back to when we were at Becca's house and I asked Nicole if she's ever like peed outside and she was just flabbergasted that that was something that people did.
I'm like,
you are a city girl.
Maria? I mean,
City girls. Yes, totally. The stuff I've seen my friends do in New York City, though, I feel like I've seen people pee in the streets of New York City, frankly, but yes, totally. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah. So I love that your book is as a reader to me, I'm sure that you have a different description, but it's like a self-help plant book, self-plant situation. And it encourages people to use their plants as a tool. Like one of my favorite things that you put in there is, before you look at your phone in the morning, look at a plant and like
look
spend
at a plant
time.
Before you look at a screen. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I didn't have plants in my bedroom, but then I read your book and then I made sure to like put plants in my bedroom.
So really?
I installed a grow light. I like made it happen and like our room was stinky and now it's not. So I'm just saying like there's benefits. So we also replaced our floor, which probably was more of the culprit, but point is, I just thought that was really cool that you just, I don't know, it's a really cool idea to just like roll over. There's a plant on your bedside table or in the corner of your bedroom and you just spend a few minutes just looking at it. And it was very much like a meditation. Like if you guys have ever listened to a meditation, it's like notice your breath and the way that the blankets feel on your body and how your clothes are hanging on your shoulders. But Maria's version is look at the plant and look at like the contours of the leaf and the way that new leaves emerge and the colors. And I just found it so beautiful because it's like, well, it's something outside of yourself. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you, like, what makes your book different in that space? Because it is tailored to people like us. So like what makes it different?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a plant care book. Becca wrote a great plant care book. Summer Rae Noakes wrote a great plant care book. Like everybody, you know, Daryl, all the stars have their plant care books. It's a self-care book. Yes, there is a plant killer to plant person crash course in the back of the book, but the book is a self-care book, how to use plants as a self-care tool. I haven't really seen that a lot. You know, I think maybe there are a couple that have come out this year kind of in tandem with my book. But that concept, plant care is self-care, hasn't been, you know, brought to life in a book as much as I've seen, you know, a standard plant care book. And the practice, and this makes me so happy because I think one of the opening lines of that chapter is, if you learn anything from this book, like, please let it be this, look at a plant before you look at a screen. Mm-hmm. That came from my personal experience of, you know, when I started caring for plants, I had a little potted balcony, potted herb on my garden on my balcony.
Yeah. Which honestly, every time you posted a video, I was terrified because it just felt so high up.
Treacherous.
And like you could fall off at any second.
Treacherous. Actually, someone fell off our next door neighbor, someone did fall off the roof, but ours, it was totally treacherous. And the shit that I used to do, like the way that I used to like lean over all the different pots, it was not okay. to be young.
To be young and stupid.
Yeah. But when I started caring for this herb garden, I was so screen addicted. I would wake up, my alarm would be on my phone, and I would wake up and the blue light, that juicy blue light, it wakes you up so fast. It's incredible, you know? And I would have my coffee with Instagram or Facebook, you know, in the morning. Like I'd have my coffee with my phone in the morning. Yeah. She's raising her hand. And when I started my herb garden, I noticed that I would leave my phone in its charger and I would start having coffee with my herbs in the morning. And I would do really weird shit with my herbs. I'd like sing to them. I'd talk to them. I'd coach them along. I would be so silly. Sometimes I would journal. Well, I journaled every day, you know, sitting amongst them. I would try and engage all my senses. You know, I'd smell them. I'd feel them. And I mean, my life, that was the transformation. That was the transformative moment because it not only connected me back with nature, but it created this space to be with myself and get to know myself. And I feel like it is so easy for us, especially, you know, millennials, Gen Z, I pray for you, Gen Z, like, oh my God, it's so easy to be so screen addicted. You know, we get up and we look at our phones and we immediately give up our agency and we don't have that relationship with ourselves all day because the minute we look at our phones, the minute we open an app, it's kind of over for the rest of the day because then you're just moving on to the email, to the this, to the that, and then you don't have any time alone with yourself. You know, I'm guilty. I watched Emily in Paris in the shower today when I took my shower, right? I'm not saying that I figured this out, but like we take our phones in the shower with us. We take our phones in the bathroom with us. Like that, people don't live like that. That's not how our ancestors lived, and it's not how our nervous system is supposed to be regulated. And so, yeah, like that, you know, I just encourage everyone to try that practice. And Becca, it makes me so happy to hear that, you know, that you've been able to implement it because it does give you this softness, this gentleness that, you know, the morning like Facebook rants from your uncle, you know, or whatever, like those don't wake you up as gently as, you know, looking at your Monstera fenestrations.
Right. Yeah. And my brain starts moving a mile a minute when I wake up, and I would rather my brain start thinking like, oh, I need to water this plant, rather than our world is ending,
imploding.
And
yeah.
Everything sucks.
So when you say like, what makes this book different and who is it for? I think the special sauce, like who it's truly for, are other plant parents, you know, who kind of understand how to take care of plants already. You've got your plant care routine, and maybe you're looking to reinvigorate that relationship with the plants that maybe has gotten a little lackluster because you're going back to, you know, work or because it's not bright and shiny anymore. These are ways to kind of deepen your relationship with plants and deepen your relationship with your plant care practice. You know, I think that's the high level, like ideal person. But also, I think the beauty of it is, since it's not a plant care book, say you have a friend in your life that you think could really benefit from having plants, but they're too intimidated, they're too overwhelmed. Give them growing joy. It's really not a plant care book. They're not going to get overwhelmed with learning about all the different soil substrates. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn, oh, the plants can help me with my screen addiction, or, oh, you know, I've got a forest down the street. Maybe I should go spend my lunch there once a week. And it's kind of that entry, you know, plants, we all understand what our, like, and I'm curious what your gateway drug plant was. Like for me, it was that tiny balcony herb garden that I became so obsessed with that I had to fill my, you know, home with. And now I have a podcast and a business about plants. Like what were your like gateway entry point plant that kind of helped you kind of explode into your current plant collections?
Yeah, we've kind of talked about how we got into plants, and I think that's kind of, it's like a similar question, but when I was able to keep my donkey tail alive is when I was like, okay, I can do this.
I got
that was like the reassuring, and I still have that plant probably now 5 years later, and it's going strong. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's definitely so what impressive. Jump-started it for me.
I love that.
I would say that my gateway plant, not the first one that I got, but the one that taught me so much about plant care was one we talk shit about so many times, but the fiddle leaf fig. Because that finicky bastard really got me through figuring out how to learn how to care for plants and also dealing with pests, because it got spider mites pretty quickly. And I was like, what the hell are spider mites?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How fast we learn.
Totally. Well, the first plant that came to mind for me was my Monstera deliciosa. I actually stole a cutting from someone I was house sitting for, which is not like a proud moment for me, but it's the truth. I had no idea what it was, and I propagated it in water, and you know, I put it in soil a few weeks later, and then it started putting out a new leaf, and I was absolutely fascinated that I could create more out of this little leaf. Like, it just, I spiraled after that. Like, it just was a whole thing. Like, that really made me realize like the potential of owning houseplants. So that was definitely mine. And I still have that plant. That's the one that's in my room now.
Mm-hmm. That's too, you know, that reminds me, in my first year of Plant Parenthood, like the first Monstera you get, and I think I write about this in the book, like the first Monstera you get, and the first Monstera I had was a juvenile, so it had no fenestrations. So the first few leaves that it unfurled were non-fenestrated. And that first fenestrated leaf, but also the anticipation and, you know, and even in thinking about it, it's like, yeah, now my Monsteras grow fenestrated leaves and I like don't even notice. And the book is also definitely something that helps you kind of reconnect to that joy. And oh my God, Monsteras are so cool. They're a tried and true houseplant. I don't know
and
if
they
I'll
were
ever
so
grow tired
hard
of them.
To find when we first started, at least in Illinois. Yeah. And I got my first Monstera in Chinatown in New York. I was there visiting.
Really?
And I found one that actually had a node. It wasn't just a leaf, because there's a lot of that in like the Chinatown, because I think for bouquets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I took that thing on the train from New York back to Chicago with me, like a baby. Like because I couldn't find it anywhere. But now, yes, they're tried and true. They're beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Yeah. And now like you go to any big box store and there's just like pallets and pallets of Monsteras for like $20. But I think that too, like plant, I think something I've learned over the, you know, 5 years or so is whenever a plant is hot, don't buy it, because it's going to be mass market in like 6 to 8 months, you know, it's always going to be $20 eventually.
Yes. That is like one of the biggest things, is like just wait a little bit and it'll still be cool. Way cheaper. There will be a tissue culture variety available very soon.
Very soon. Yep. Totally.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Thank you to Cozy Earth for sponsoring this episode of Potted Together. Cozy Earth crafts luxury goods that transform your lifestyle. All of their products are made from responsibly sourced viscose from bamboo and come with a 10-year warranty. Cozy Earth sent each of us a piece of their loungewear, and honestly, I was shocked at how soft and comfortable it is. Cozy Earth has been featured on Oprah's Favorite Things, and look, I get it. It is the piece of loungewear I reach for the most, and it's made from the same material that they use to make their bedding. I have said this on our podcast before, but I am a firm believer of spending your money where you spend your time. That means good quality towels, comfortable bedding, and great loungewear. And listen up, Potted Together fam. Cozy Earth has offered you an exclusive offer of 35% off site-wide. That's 3-5. All you have to do is use the code Potted Together, all one word, at checkout. That's PotTedTogether. Now back to the episode.
Well, okay, so Adam brings up New York City, and I really wanted to ask you about this. I didn't live in like a city like New York, but you know, we've talked about how we both went from city to rural life. And as a, you know, as an online friend, I never expected you to leave New York City. It just, that was you.
Never. Yeah.
So I want to know about that transformation from the city to where you live now on property, and like how that has affected your perspective, like on life, your plans, your relationships, everything. Like that was a big prune. If I do say so.
I love this question. I love this question. And any of my like close friends know that I love talking about being a country girl now. I'm such a country girl. It took 2 years. But yeah, so, you know, I was living in New York City because I was a musical theater performer. So when I started Bloom and Grow, it was a total passion project. I was making good money, you know, doing national tours of Broadway musicals, you know, being on Broadway briefly, performing as a singer. So
Cats.
Cats was all of 2019 for me.
Yes. That's how we met.
Yes, totally. Right. When I was in Tucson. You know, I always thought that I had to live in New York City because that's where all the auditions were and that's where Broadway was. And I wanted to be on Broadway. I was in a show in New York City that got shut down during the pandemic. We closed 3 days before opening night, which totally broke my brain. And I was unemployed all of a sudden. And those were some dark times. I joke that like I drank one Aperol spritz a day for 60 days straight. Like it from that March, April pandemic, it was like there was a few months where I was just pretty like numb. And then coming out of it, there was just one day where I looked at my husband and I was, you know, I had gotten my book deal. I had kind of felt that my energy was moving towards Bloom and Grow. And, you know, we were cooped up in this tiny apartment and I was just like, I think we don't need to be here anymore. Like, what if? And I think a big rule that I've learned for myself is we think in truths, like we think that we know the truth. And I thought that I had to live in New York City for my entire life. And that was just like a calcified truth of mine. And something that I've learned through therapy for, you know, several years is, okay, but can you challenge those thoughts? So yes, I say, well, it has to be this way. But what if it wasn't? What would that look like? And right. I feel like my husband has gotten pretty good at being like, okay, but what would that look like, Maria? Because that's, you know, my favorite phrase now. So I said, you know, what would it look like if we didn't live in the city anymore? Like, what would it look like if we got out? And we ended up moving in with my parents for 6 months, which was weird. I mean, it was amazing. But like living with your fiance, with your parents was an interesting 6 month period of time. And then we had a rental opportunity open up at a literal cabin in the woods about 2 hours north in a town that I was familiar with, Woodstock, New York. And it was a cabin on 5 acres. So I like to say I went from 500 square feet to 5 acres. And
so
it was
crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of brutal. I'm obsessed with it. Like I'm in love with my life now. But the first 6 months were tough. You know, living only in New York City. So, and I write about this in my book, your nervous system is so used to a certain amount of noise pollution and light pollution because your body just adjusts to it. So I was scared of the dark, right? Because like I had street lights always on outside of my window. You know, the streets in New York City are always lit. And all of a sudden we moved to the country where it was pitch black outside at night. We had no street lights. We're on a country road. It's pitch black outside to the point where if I look out the window, I see my reflection. I can't see. Someone could have been, you know, a foot outside of my house looking in and I wouldn't have known it. That freaked me out. Also the silence. You know, you're used to the sounds of the city and all of a sudden it's true like nature silence. It's whistling winds and birds and you know, when it snows, I'm sure Becca you can relate, like when it snows, you know, there's this eerie silence in the country, but it's incredible. But it's spooky when you first do it. And you know, New York City, a place where you can get any type of food that you want delivered to your door at 2 a.m. My husband and I tell this story that, you know, we had this kind of crazy move. We got our stuff into our new house. We are so exhausted and we're like, let's just order in. Like, let's get delivery. We can't, like, we're so tired. And we start looking and we open Yelp and we open Seamless and it says no deliveries available. And we were like, wait, what? And It was like the most city girl thing. And it, like, yeah, literally no one delivers to where we live. So, wow, you know, we didn't have a mailbox. We had to get a P.O. box at the post office and go to our post. You know, I'm like best friends with my post lady now because I go visit her four times a week. So there was definitely like a 3 to 4 month period of having to kind of settle my nervous system, reframe, readjust to just such a slower pace of life, especially in New York City. And it's interesting now that I go back, people in New York City just walk around with this grit in their jaw. Like, no one's smiling. No one's making eye contact with each other. And I remember, because I used to do that, right? But it's this faster, harder pace of life. And it's so hard to live well there that it kind of does harden you. And I feel like moving to the country has really softened me. And it's helped me realize, like, what's important and what isn't. Delivery is something I thought I could not live without. And I've lived without it for 2 years. You know, that's so privileged to say, but a mailbox, right? Like, I grew up always having my mail delivered to my house, and all of a sudden I don't. And it's okay. Like, you figure it out, right? You know, we don't have a garbage disposal, so we go to the dump and we got a composter. And, you know, it's been a really different, tempo of life. But it's been really beautiful. And I think personally, you know, to deal with my mental health, I needed to kind of retreat to the woods, and I needed to kind of cozy up and physically remove myself from that older life. 'Cause there was a true mourning process of leaving that industry, the performing industry, which was all I ever wanted, and watching it just like disintegrate in the pandemic was so painful. And there was a true kind of mourning and dying and rebirth thing going on in my heart and in my spirit. So, yeah. What do you think, Becca? Do you like country life? Would you ever go back?
Yeah, I relate to literally everything you said. I mean, besides the mailbox, we do have a mailbox, thankfully. That would be
what
hard.
A luxury. What a luxury.
I never thought of that as a luxury, but now I will. But yeah, anytime I visit home or just a city, I just think to myself, I don't know how I ever lived there.
Yeah.
Because it's just so strange to be so disconnected from nature. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I grew up in the desert, so it was very different than where I'm living now. So that's probably like also on top of all of that. But the desert, I mean, it's nature in a different way. It's not traditional. So I did spend a lot of time in nature as a kid. That's where I would retreat. But it's just different. It's huge trees and having that literally right outside my yard. Like, we live on 7 acres. I forest bathe all the time, and I didn't even know that's what I was doing. Like, I just go, I have a hammock, and we have like a little quote-unquote campsite, you know, that we go hang out on and do little fires. And that's just a part of my day-to-day life, and that could have never been a thing before. And it was definitely like a trade. Like, I used to ride my bike everywhere, and I can't do that anymore because I would be literally clocking 40 miles a day. That's just not possible. So that'd be great for, you know, physical health, but
physically,
I would hate that personally. So yeah, I agree with everything you said, and it is surprisingly amazing. And my husband always grew up like, we're living in a situation that he's very familiar with, so like for him, like coming home to that is very nice. Like, it just feels natural. And I can't imagine living somewhere without a forest and like big trees literally right outside my door, which is so hard because it's like, oh, it's not exactly the cheapest way to live. Like,
yeah totally. It's so interesting. I felt, we just went and spent a month with my parents who live in West Palm Beach. You know, talk about houseplant lovers. They got Monstera's hedging over there, God. You know, like,
I kept telling my partner, I was like, let's go to Florida someday because I would have the cutest outdoor garden.
Oh my God. Yes. It is wild there. And it's been very fun watching my mom kind of make her adjustment. But when Billy and I came home, we were like, we miss the forest. It's, you know, Florida's beautifully lush, and it's lush all year round. But there's, I think, personally, I need four seasons. Seasons help me understand the passing of time in a way that I feel like, you know, when I went to school in Houston, we didn't really have the seasons. It wasn't that same feeling. But yeah, I do feel like, and Becca, I wonder how you feel about this also, because I do feel like we kind of had a parallel move situation. You're on 7 acres, yeah. I'm on 5, like very similar. But we do also say right now we're a little too rural. I do feel like there will be another move in our near future where we move, you know, to maybe 1 or 2 acres, maybe a little bit closer. There are some things where I'm like, it's 2 hours to get to the airport. It's an hour to get to a Whole Foods. It's an hour to get to a Trader Joe's. Like, for me, that's just a little too much.
Yeah.
But I've definitely, like, released into the season of life that we're in of just being like, I don't know how long we're here. I'm like, but I'm going to just be a country bumpkin for as long as I can do it, because it's so much fun. And I know that, you know, when we moved here, you know, I didn't love it to begin with, but it's interesting. And also, you know, if you want to talk about plants, like, we're so resilient and hardy as humans, and we're so much stronger than we think we are. Similarly to our plants can survive the spider mites. They can survive, you know, the different homes and stuff like that. And if anything, I feel like this move has just taught me, like, I can, like, I'll just figure it out, you know, like, I'll, if we have to move again, whatever, like, we're adaptable humans, and we get so rigid sometimes thinking that life has to be a certain way, but it really doesn't, you know, and I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick that I love that what you said about you had these calcified truths in your life, because I think that that is so freaking relatable. And you kind of brushed past, well, not brushed past, but you said it's a mourning period, but that probably threw you into like some very big turmoil for a long time. That you came out this stronger, more beautiful person because of it. But, you know, I think I've been thinking about that a lot lately, because as a country, or as like this, we're forced to like figure out what we want to do when we're in high school, like when we don't even know what the world has to offer, and you're like, okay, well, figure out what you want to do the rest of your life. And I was on a path of like, I need to be a businessman, I need to do finance, and I need to do this, but my passion is not in that at all. My passion is in things like this. It's in creating, it's in doing that kind of work. Like, I love that, and I have taught myself most of that, but like, I wish that I would have known that back in the day, you know. Yeah. I wish I would have known that, but you know, I'm happy that I found it now. I'm happy that I'm like, while I still have a day job, like, I'm happy that like I have a passion and a hobby creating and taking care of plants that brings me joy. And it's not like I do my job and I go home and I'm like empty for, you know, 8 hours until bed, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's so beautiful, and just the gift that you're giving yourself of allowing yourself to own that side of yourself, right? And you can be both, right? Like, you can have the job but also have the creativity, but allowing it to be something that you celebrate instead of something that you feel like you have to hide. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I just think that's so beautiful, and such an important lesson for everyone to learn. And I feel like, you know, it takes a minute. I'm like, God, if I knew what I know now in my 20s, I'd be so much happier. But you also have to, like, you know, you got to go through the struggle and the questioning and all of that. Just like you said, the turmoil to kind of come out on the other end. Yeah. It's like the visual I've had in my head a lot lately is like the redwood tree seeds, or these seeds that require being burned before they can germinate. There's like this whole family of seeds that literally have to get like torched in order to break their shell open and actually kind of grow. And that's just a visual that I like keep getting as I think, you know, I kind of process the struggles of the last couple of years, but then also kind of like let them go and allow that also to not define who I am. Cause I think I've also like lived in that turmoil and really let it be part of the definition of who I am as well, which I'm kind of getting tired of.
You mentioned moving from New York City to such a rural area, and that is it's a pretty extreme move, I want to say. I mean, Adam moved from the country to a more city area.
Reverse,
and Yeah. And I recently moved last year from Chicago to a suburb, which is pretty close to the city still. Mm-hmm. So I can't really speak on like rural. But my husband's from New York City. He's from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And when you mention people walking around with just no smiles, like the grit in your teeth, like clenched jaws, it's so true. Because yeah. when I go visit, excuse me, I tell him all the time, I'm like, I can only spend like a week tops yep. visiting your family, because as much as I love the city and I love the accessibility of it and like all the little plant shops, it's such a cool space where he's at. It is just this kind of tense environment. And I notice when he goes to visit and he comes back, it's kind of just like this whoosh, like, okay, I had all I yes. can have of the city. And I feel like as much as he misses it and as much as he misses his family, he, for his mental health and for like our mental health, I think it helps us being outside of the city. I really think like the slower pace as you get older is just, it's just something that we both need. And we don't really realize it until we visit a big city like New York.
100%. One of the biggest. So it's 2 hours for me to the city. And mm-hmm. I started out like trying to do overnights, like crashing with friends, like when I had to come in for a meeting or something. And now it will be 10 o'clock at night and I will drive home because I want to sleep in my own bed yes. and I want to wake yes. up with a view of nature.
Yep.
But yes, I mean, I totally agree. And I think the biggest, so I'm very lucky. And if you want to talk about women supporting women, if you want to talk about creators in our space who like walk the walk of being kind, Summer Rae Oaks gave me her apartment for my book launch.
Yeah.
So I yeah. was supposed to be in New York City for a week for my book launch. I had all this press lined up. It would have been thousands of dollars for me to, you know, book hotels or whatever. And Summer yeah. Rae said, go stay in my famous apartment.
Oh my
gosh. Amazing. Gosh.
So I stayed in Summer Rae's apartment for a week.
I had so many selfies in that apartment.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wild. My husband and I fought over the hammock. We lived on that hammock.
Oh man.
But so I was in Summer's planty escape, like everything that you've seen on her channel. Like I was living in her apartment, right, for a week. And at the end of the week, Billy and I still looked at each other and we were like, we got to go home. And yeah. I feel like that to me was the biggest like aha moment, because you literally couldn't ask for a more magical week. I was in New York City for my book launch. I was on national TV. I was living mm-hmm. in Summer Rae's apartment. I was sitting in her, I was meditating in her hammock every morning, right? Like, come on. It does not get more ideal than that. And yet I still wanted to go home to my, you know, mail-less, garbage deliveryless like house and
no food delivery.
Yeah, no food. I wanted to go home and cook my own food, even though I got stuff delivered to Summer's apartment like every day just because I could. But yeah, like I think you do, once you unwind that nervous system, like once you kind of slow down, you become so hyper aware. And it's funny because I lived in New York City for, you know, 12 years and it never bothered me. I went, all of 2019. I saw Becca during it. I toured the country with Cats. I did 8 shows a week. And then on my day off, I would host listener meetups. Becca co-hosted one with me in Tucson. I was like running, pushing, mm-hmm. pushing. And it was like nothing. Like it was just normal. It was like breathing for me. And now I think about doing that and I like get so terrified. I'm like, yeah. No, you can't. Like, gosh, it's so interesting. It's wild the difference like a year or two makes. It really is.
For sure.
Totally. And you realize that you can live without, like when I first moved here, I was mortified that we didn't have a Trader Joe's. I was mortified yeah. that we only yeah. had one Target. Like it was just, and I don't live, you know, like as far from things as you do. We definitely have like a good middle ground. Like we're in the country, but we can still access town like very mm-hmm. easily. So it's been ideal in that way. But just moving somewhere so much smaller, I'm like, what do you mean there's one Target? Like
right.
there's one Home Depot. There's one Lowe's. Yep. For me, that was so shocking. But like it's made me realize that you don't need more than that. You really just need one. You don't even need the one in itself. Mm-hmm. It's just life is so much more simplified for me. And like, I love shopping. I love buying things. It's just really simplified my life in that way. Like, I just don't need those things. I have my garden and I have my things that I really like. It's just like forced me to pare down on so many things. My plant collection, number one, like, you know, there's not as many options to go shopping. And it's hard to even ship things in the winter. So that kind of cuts down on amount of time I can ship things. Like, it's just, it's different and it's good.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I would say my seasonal depression the first year I lived here was like the worst ever.
Mm, yeah.
Because it was such a shock to the nervous system. And as you're saying that, that's making a lot of sense to me because I was so used to everything. And then I had like what it felt like nothing. And it was just shocking. I didn't know how to react. And so it was just like seasonal depression. You're going to experience that for the first time, Becca, and you're not going to know what it is.
Yeah.
But you're going to experience it very badly. And every year after that, I've kind of known what to expect. So it's been better, but it's just
weird.
Do you
have a sad lamp? How have you, if you don't mind me asking, what have you done to cope with it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is like a daylight lamp. And that helps a lot. I don't have one that you like put right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. I will consider that this year, depending on how dark it is. But the cloud cover is what really bothers me. It's not necessarily the cold. It's just the constant cloud cover is so weird. I mean, when I was but the thing is when I was in Tucson this last week, it was sunny and 70 degrees like every day. And I was like, this is weird. I don't like this. Like, this is not, this doesn't feel natural, but it is natural for them. But for me, I was like, this just doesn't feel right. I need snow for winter, you know?
I do.
It's crazy how quickly your brain chemistry changes as well.
And for you, that was a huge change. You know, I stayed in the same climate, but for you, that's, you know, even more change on top of a lot of change. You know, and obviously everything, the grass is always greener. There's always, there's negatives. I feel like I'm like, do it, move to the country. But it's like, okay, only move to the country if you're ready for like a lot of alone time.
Yes, totally. Yeah. If you're ready to like face every demon you've ever experienced.
Yes.
And be really alone and your friends might not reach out as much because you live far. It's like out of sight, out of mind. But
yes. Yeah. And your Wi-Fi is going to go out more than if it went in the city too. Like the Wi-Fi is going to be a problem. You know,
that has been a hard adjustment. The Wi-Fi just sucks. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being a content creator too, it's for both of you guys. Like I see Becca struggle through it, but how have you been with like Wi-Fi being so rural? Is it hard?
I'd say my content has suffered a little bit. Definitely. That was a huge transition. Number one, like my plants weren't doing well in 2021 because we moved to a log cabin in the woods in the middle of winter. Also because I wasn't doing very well. And you know, my 500 square foot apartment, every inch was accounted for and beautifully styled. Like we had plants, we had a green wall, we had like all sorts of stuff. And then I was living in these rentals, which I didn't have a lot of control over, and they were both furnished. So I've lived in two homes upstate and they're both furnished. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden I didn't have control over my space anymore. I had to like put my stuff on top of other people's stuff. Yeah. I feel like for content creation, that's probably been the toughest because I feel like it's been very hard for me to film video when I'm not really in a space that reflects my style or my home. And it's like, okay, but do we want to put holes in the walls here if we're going to live here for 5 months? It's like, no. Are we installing the grow lights? Are we not installing the grow lights? So that's been, I think, the trickiest. The Wi-Fi has forced me to get creative. But yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of Zoom calls get like completely thwarted. And it's, at this point, I'm used to it, but I think it was mortifying, especially those first couple of Zoom calls that just like, I just like, you know, my computer just decided not to work. And in the winter, it's worse too, because like when it snows or when you get weather. But it really does just kind of become a way of life. And now I know, like, if we have a snowstorm coming, I'm going to like, let anyone know that I'm on a call with that, you know, it might not happen. Once again, it's like you think you make these appointments and you've got to stick to them, or you think that you've got to shoot the content on this day. And it's like, you don't. You know, it's really interesting that it's like, I think that's what the country has also taught me is, okay, if that Zoom call didn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. Or, okay, if I didn't get to upload this thing on Instagram today, I can do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I come from a much more rigid place of none of that is allowed. And once again, it's kind of massaging those calcified truths, I guess. I need to like TM that. I like that. What I said earlier.
That's but, really good.
But yes. It's another thing. But it's also forced me to get creative. And I think my content has certainly changed. I mean, Becca, I feel like watching you set up your, you know, your garden, like I was hooked on those garden videos. And I've definitely gotten more interested in outdoors than indoors because in New York City, it wasn't available to me, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Totally. But, you know, still loving the house plants. But I also think, you know, as people, your interests evolve as you get older. So it's kind of forced me to continue evolving and not like get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you lose control of certain things while simultaneously gaining control of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, I mean, the internet, I throw caution to the wind. I don't know. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I have no idea what's going to happen.
No rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And your content might suffer, but it's like, well, this is just, it is what it is. I literally can't do anything about it. And like, you can, in some ways in the city, like you can completely customize and create the environment that you're going to live in. But when you live out here, it's like there's so much that you're not in control of and you kind of just have to live with it. Like it is what it is. If it changes, maybe in 10 years, we'll see a difference. But like it's,
yeah,
you're not as in control of your environment, but at the same time you are. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was going to say, I have an entire office in this house that I have a fake green wall and like, I just installed shelves and, you know, my office is genuinely the size of probably 3/4 of that 500 square foot apartment, you know? So it took me a minute to get savvy and be like, okay, I need to look at this as a studio and I need to create filming locations and I need to like beautify the space so I can make it work. But, you know, that's a luxury that I never had in the city. So I think you're totally right. There's total trade-offs. And like plants, like your plant number, like there's different seasons of life where, you know, country living would work and then different seasons where it wouldn't, you know? And you know, how fun that we get to just explore it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Well, I've got one last question for you, unless Adam and Nicole have anything to add to that.
Nope. You're knocking them out. I love it.
Okay. So it's a two for one.
Okay.
What does growing joy mean for you? And what can we expect from you in 2023? Like, what can we look forward to? What does growing joy look like for you in 2023? That's a better, that's better.
Okay. I love this. So high level, I think where I've landed on like what I've been put on this earth to do is to help people cultivate kindness. So I want to help like cultivate kinder communities. And I think I do that through helping people connect with plants and themselves. So that's higher level, kind of more meta, but I think plants are not only an incredible tool for cultivating a relationship with yourself and cultivating happiness, but when we practice the empathy on plants, when we practice the nurturing, when we practice these things, we're also practicing kindness, being kind to something. And I think right now, like that's what the world needs is more kind people, more empathetic people. And I think plants on this small scale are a way for all of us to kind of develop that muscle that I think society and like the world need. So I'm exploring how I can do that to the best of my ability. I mean, the Growing Joy podcast, the content that we have lined up, the interviews that we have lined up, it's going to be a beautiful exploration of plant care and self-care from, you know, setting up your first garden to learning how to start your seeds to caring for your Hoyas to, you know, caudex plants. We're going to do an episode on, you know, all things caudex. So we have the both, you know, beginner and super nerdy, but also like then how do we take those skills and use them for like their highest ability for ourselves and for nature? Like, how do we take this thing, this hobby that we have of caring for plants, and take it to the next level for ourselves and for our community? I just want to help everyone. If, you know, the goal that I set from my book is that I threw a lot at people in my book. There's over 60 different practices that people can do. There's stories. It's kind of like it's kind of all over the place. But my thought in writing the book was, if everyone can leave this book with one thing that they can do and implement into their life to like bring a smile to their face or calm their nervous system or just like have a net positive impact, then I have done my job. And hearing Becca's like testimonial is like, yep, I've done my job. If you just look at a plant before you look at a screen. I think the podcast is, you know, we're exploring a ton of different options so that, you know, if I can make our listener community all feel better in one way, then I think I've thoroughly done my job. And so I'm going to try and, you know, throw as many different out there topics at you to see what resonates. So yeah, if people are interested in, you know, exploring self-care through plant care and exploring nature-based therapy and all sorts of different fun, you know, plant care topics as well, you're welcome to come hang out with me. The show is now called Growing Joy with Maria. The podcast art is bright pink. We're bringing the, if you want to talk about podcast art, I sent my designer a photo of a zinnia that I grew. And ooh, I said, this is the inspiration for the entire rebrand.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of fuchsia in the rebrand. But so we're going to have fun. I'm really excited. I feel like, you know, Bloom and Grow year one, Maria, like with this 2023, like I feel excited and a little nervous and, you know, a little vulnerable, but mostly excited about, you know, kind of expanding the content that we're going to be bringing. And also we're going from 2 episodes a month to 4 episodes a month. So, you know, more free content for people as well, which is great.
I love that. Yes. Well, I personally spent this morning listening to your episode with Callie, and then we were on a call for like an hour before we started recording, and I feel so fucking empowered right now. I don't know why, but I'm like, I need to find an alarm clock that's not my phone, and I'm going to buy one today and just be like, my phone is not going to be what wakes me up in the morning, because that's what wakes me up in the morning. And I'm just like, I need a change.
Can I wait? Thank you. And can I give a shout out? They're not my sponsor. We've also talked offline about sponsorships. I'm harassing them to please be my sponsor. So I'll give them a shout out on your podcast. There's this really cool alarm clock called Lofty, and it has a sad lamp in it. So it wakes you up with the sun. But then also they have all of these different recordings of nature sounds and nature and meditations that you can fall asleep to and wake up to. Ooh. It is a very cool company. Okay, and Lofty, if you're listening to this, Lofty, I want to work with you.
Oh, this is cool.
You've got my number.
I just looked it up. It's pretty cool.
It's so stylish. It's so cool. They have an alarm clock and a lamp, and I'm obsessed with them. So if you're interested in getting one of those alarm clocks, I would recommend Lofty.
Awesome.
Not hashtag right, not Lofty. Sponsored. Hashtag wish this was sponsored. Thank you, Adam. That's really nice of you, though.
All right. Well, Maria, it was really wonderful having you on the pod. And like Adam said, I feel really motivated to switch up my habits. I mean, as I did when I read your book, like I just felt so like, I don't know. It was cool to have these self-care practices that would be so easy to integrate because I already had plants, you know? So it's just really a beautiful book. So if you guys haven't already read Maria's book, Growing Joy, you definitely should. Beautiful illustrations as well. We didn't get to talk about Samantha, but
Samantha beautiful. From Hemleva.
Oh my gosh, love her so much.
Beautiful, beautiful illustrations. It's just, it's visually really gorgeous and really wonderful for the brain. So, and also the Growing Joy podcast is a really great. I've been a listener of Bloom and Grow like since the beginning, I'm pretty sure. So,
yes, 5 years.
Yeah, like I'm a fangirl, obviously. So, just want to say thank you for being here and putting so much of your time into creating really good content. And that's all I have to say. So, if you guys want to go follow Maria, we'll have all of her information in the show notes, and we would love for you to go check her out and see and just support her in this new change, because change is scary, but it's also really good. And we're super excited for you.
Yes.
We are so excited for you. And I have to say, too, I think that we have shouted you out more than any other creator on the podcast.
Really?
Because when we are talking, like, we'll get into our catch ups and we'll be like 40 minutes into a catch up and we'll be like, listen, guys, if you're here for the plant knowledge, it's not the place to be. Go head over to Bloom and Grow Radio. She's much more structured.
Well, there's a beautiful synergy here, right? Then between these two shows, you know, there's a beautiful synergy for sure.
Yes, absolutely. If you want the plant information, go listen to Maria's podcast. But if you want to hear us talk shit, just listen
to ours. If you want the tea, you got to come over to Potted Together. That's for sure.
Right.
Exactly. But anyway, we're so glad to have you. And I feel weird ending it because it's been so fun, but we're going to end it there. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and check out our latest post and say hi to Maria over there. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.